So we're looking at authentic faith, authentic faith. So I'll just give us a recap from last week. Then I'll, you know, carry on with today's, today's bit, which is going to be the second part. All right, so authentic faith. The main scripture that we looked at, that we're basing all this on, is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, I'll read. I'm reading the NIV version, but whatever version you've got is fine. You can just follow me or you can listen. So it says here, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Louise and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So this is the background scripture that we're using to look at authentic faith that we're looking at. Now, this portion of scripture that I just read was Paul the Apostle writing to Timothy, his protege, and, you know, looking at the missionary journeys of Paul, Timothy was someone that went about with him, and he was really there to Paul. He was like a disciple of Paul. And Paul made a very interesting comment about this young man. And the thing he mentioned to him, or the thing he says here, is this, which I'm going to take up from here. It says, I am reminded of your sincere faith. So we begin to see that there's so many things that Paul could have commended Timothy about, which he did in some other part. But it's interesting that out of all the people that followed Paul, there was something that Paul saw in Timothy that just really touched him. And what he highlighted here wasn't something flashy, if I can use that word. He didn't say, I remember the signs and wonders you did, which is fantastic. God wants us to do that. He didn't say, I remember that you were a great teacher of the word, which he was. He highlighted something very simple, something very casual, probably even not noticeable, probably something that we wouldn't really place emphasis on. But Paul highlighted it, and it was Timothy's sincere faith. So today we're carrying on from what we were looking at last, which is authentic faith. So last week, I'll just recap again. I looked at the dictionary meaning for the word sincere faith, which again translates to being authentic faith. And the dictionary meaning I got here, I got it online, by the way, it says, as the definition of sincere, free from pretense, proceeding from genuine feelings. And genuine says here, free from pretense and proceeding from genuine feelings. So that's what the dictionary defines as sincere or authentic. Now, why am I talking about authentic faith? We'll look at that in a minute. But one thing I mentioned last time was that the world that we live in now, the world of social media, the world of Facebook, the world of Instagram, and all these things. I mean, I love all these social media, by the way, because we actually use social media as well. But one thing is this, we'll all realize that the pictures that a lot of people post on Facebook, the pictures that a lot of people post on Instagram, now I'm not going to make a sweeping judgment, they're usually kind of like the best pictures that we have, pictures that don't really show all our sides. It's, you know, pictures of when you're on holiday, you're smiling, pictures of this and that, you know, things that are in quote, let me know, I don't want to use unauthentic, but they don't show everything about us. So the world that we live in now promotes a lot of superficiality. We as well probably get involved in that, because I know when I post pictures on Facebook and all that, it's going to be like really happy pictures. So what I'm saying is that there's the propensity that the world we live in right now is very shallow. It's very shallow, almost unauthentic. I mean, who's going to put a picture out on Facebook or on Instagram, or when you are shouting at your, your friend or you know, saying nasty things to your neighbor. You don't put those kind of things there. But what I'm saying is that those things are the part of us that is authentic oftentimes is hidden. It's not something we put out in public. So I believe everybody wants authenticity. I don't know about you guys. I mean, if I have a friend, I'd want my friend to be like really authentic. I'd want to know that this, my friend, is not fake. They're not, you know, just putting putting on a show, that what I'm seeing is actually what they are. So we all want authenticity in our authenticity in our lives, because that's what we want. We don't want fake people in our lives per se. We want people who are genuine, who can be like really as they are. So that's what I'm saying, that that's the world that we live in. But God wants us to live a life of authenticity. He wants us to be authentic with Him. He wants us to be authentic with the people around us. Now, I'm not saying we should, you know, just show people all our, you know, private dealings, so to speak. No, but God wants us to be sincere, particularly in our walk with Him, particularly as, you know, believers in Christ. So God wants us to be authentic. So some of the points that I mentioned last time, I'm just going to summarize them and I'll continue today. I said, what's the big deal about authentic faith? Why do we want to be authentic? Why should we strive to live authentic Christian lives? And one of the first things I mentioned was that, look, everything aside, God actually treasures our authentic living. He appreciates the fact that we can be authentic with Him. Now, how do I know that? I made a comment last time that there was a man in the Bible, David, in the Old Testament. And if you read the story of David, he's the one that killed Goliath, so on and so forth. That man did some really bad things in the Bible. He killed someone, or took someone's wife, killed her husband, so many things. But God referred to him as a man after His own heart. We looked at John chapter 13, 34. So you're wondering, hang on, how can God refer to David as a man after His own heart, despite all the things he did? Well, one thing about David was that this man was authentic as it relates to God. If you read the Psalms, I mean, this man did not hold back his true self when he was speaking to God. And he wrote some of those things in the Psalms. He would be like, you know, this has really annoyed me. This is really hurting me. He said some really interesting things in the Psalms. And you begin to see that, hang on, this man was a really authentic man. And God so loved the fact that he was authentic. So the first point I made last week was that God loves authenticity, I'm just going to call it short form, authentic. He loves us he likes it when we're authentic. Now, God loves us anyway we are, anyway, whether we're authentic or not. He loves us still, but He prefers it when we're authentic. So we see that in the comments that He passed about David. So that was the first thing we looked at last week. Why authentic living? Why, you know, we said God actually loves that. The second thing we looked at last week was that there are so many challenges so many things mitigating against living an authentic lifestyle as a Christian. And what I mentioned was we looked at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. We also looked at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. And we said that there is an inherent challenge that we have in ourselves. And one of those challenges is that in our hearts can be a bit deceptive. You know, when we're born again, God changes our heart, but we still have a residue of stuff in our heart that's not really sincere. And oftentimes we might actually deceive ourselves into thinking like, you know, I'm good. But really the depth of it is that when we compare ourselves with what God says is authentic, we really are not there. Am I saying we have to be perfect? Absolutely not. But what I was highlighting last week was that we need to realize that there is something in us that is often not as authentic as it should be. But, you know, with God, he removes that with us gradually. So I mentioned that last week, that the main, some of the challenges of being authentic is inherent in us. It's our hearts. There's just something about us that is just like not as authentic as it should be. So that was the second thing we looked at. The third and last thing that we looked at last week regarding authentic Christian living was the fact that being authentic is not really about what you do more. It's more about what's in your heart. And we looked at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. And there was a story where God sent a prophet to the house of David, to David's father's house. And he sent this man, this prophet there, and he said, go to the house of Jesse and anoint a king for me. Prophet got there and he looked at the firstborn and he said, surely this chap has to be the one that's king, because outwardly he looked very regal, he looked very handsome, he looked like all together. And God just said, no, that's not the man I'm asking you to crown or to anoint king here. And at the end of the day, God said something to the prophet which is worth noting. He said, look, I'm paraphrasing, I do not view people from the outward part or from their outward appearance. I look at the heart. So the third and final thing that we looked at last week was the fact that authentic living or authenticity, it is not really what you do. It is what is inside your heart. Now, obviously, whatever is in your heart will play itself outwardly as well. But the focus is not really on correcting our actions outwardly. It's something that has to do with our heart, something that's internal to us. That's where authentic living starts. So it's not really about doing the right things. Do you understand what I mean? Although we do the right things because of what's inside of us, God looks at the inward parts. He looks at the heart. Yes, so that was what we looked at last week. We're going to continue today. And what I'm looking at today, still on the authentic living, authentic faith, is what I will call the foundations of authentic faith or the foundations of authentic living. I'm just going to mention 3 points. Now, for those who know me, you guys know that when I teach, I make it, very simple, nothing complicated at all, because I don't believe the Word of God is complicated. It's just so that we can apply these things to our life so that it makes sense. So if I'm going to be going through stuff that you know already, don't worry about that. Just open your heart and just see how it relates to you. So 3 things I'm going to be looking at tonight under what I've called the foundations of authentic faith. The foundations of authentic faith. Now, the first thing is this, and I've called the first thing is about authentic faith is that it is visible and noticeable in the life of an individual. What I mean by this statement of authentic faith is noticeable in a person's life. When you come across someone who is living authentically, I'm not talking about just like maybe the first time, because you might not really know them the first time you meet them. But if you just observe people, or you are with someone, you've newly become their friend or so on and so forth, you will realize that if that person is living or has authentic faith, eventually you will notice it. Now, don't get me wrong. You guys remember that I mentioned that authentic faith is not just what we do. So I'm not saying someone is living a perfect Christian life. They're not making mistakes. No, I'm not talking about that. But there's just something in the heart of a person who is living authentic faith that radiates out of them. And it becomes noticeable. So authentic faith is noticeable in the life of an individual. So that's the first thing I want to point out. Now, I'm going to read 2 portions of scripture. The first one is Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. And I'll read. This is Paul speaking. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle was writing to the Philippians, and he so loved them that he was always thinking about them. He loved them authentically. Do you understand? He was far away from there, and he made an interesting statement here. His faith and his love for them was so authentic that he said, look, in this Philippians chapter 1 verse 8, it says, God can testify how I long for all of you. That is a massive statement to make. He looked around and he said, look, even God knows how I feel about you guys. He says, I love you with the affections of Jesus Christ. So we begin to see this man here displaying genuine, authentic faith here. And the expression of this faith that he had, the expression of this authentic faith was the fact that he loved the people of God genuinely. Now, you know, nowadays, right, as a believer, we come together as a church family and we chat with one another. Hi, how are you? How has work been? How is school going? And that is fantastic. You know, we're a family and we should do that. However, for Paul, it didn't just stop at the church entrance on the Sunday. It didn't just stop at, okay, I've said hello to this chap in church, you know, I've done my bit. No, he was constantly thinking about the people of God to the point that he said, look, I'm longing to see you guys so dearly. Now, realize that this man was not related to these people that he was talking about. They were not his family members by blood, but they were the people of God. So he took them as his own family members in Christ. And not just as family members in Christ, he had a genuine, authentic faith, which expressed itself in the love that he had for these people. Jesus mentioned something here in the Bible. Jesus said to his disciples, he says, this is how people will know that you are my disciples, when you love one another. So the first measure of authentic faith is not necessarily that we can prophesy, that we can do all these great things. It's not necessary that we can sing really well in the choir, which is fantastic, we should. It's not necessary that we're gifted. All those things are good. It is expressed primarily in the love that we have for one another. And this love I'm talking about is not just a surface kind of love. It is a love that is so deep that begins to express itself in this context. So genuine, authentic faith is noticeable in the life of an individual, in your life. How do you feel about the folks in church? Do you think about them? Now, I'm not saying this to make anybody feel guilty, by the way. I'm just asking us to reflect. I'm reflecting as well, that for the people that you know in this church, in this local church, or even other Christians, how do you feel about them? Do you care deeply about them? When you see someone in another church, local church, maybe saying something on YouTube that they shouldn't be saying, and you know, they're not really representing us properly as Christians, what do you feel about them? Do you think, oh, that person is, you know, this and this? I'm not saying we shouldn't correct people who are in error, but do you love them? Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ with the fact that, okay, you can over whatever it is they're doing, you still say, look, that person is not doing right, but God, can you please, you know, just touch them? Why? Because of that love. So we see the first thing, that sincere and authentic faith is noticeable in the life of an individual. It's not something that's abstract, if you get what I mean. Now, another scripture I'm going to read is Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to 21. Still looking at the first point, that sincere and authentic faith is noticeable in the life of an individual. You can notice it in your life, and it is noticeable in the life of other people as well. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 20, I'll read. I hope in the Lord Jesus Christ to send Timothy to you. Talking about this young man as well again, Timothy. Paul talking. He said, I hope in the Lord Jesus Christ to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. Now, he begins to describe this Timothy chap. He says, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone else looks out for their own interests, not for those of Christ. Now, Paul highlights something else about this young man at the time. Remember that he had already mentioned to Timothy when he was writing to him that, look, I remember your sincere faith. Now, Paul now sends Timothy to the Philippian church because he had missed them so much. He hadn't seen them, and for whatever reason, he couldn't go and see them. And in those days, they didn't have like YouTube, they didn't have like Zoom. So, you know, and they didn't have telephones, so he couldn't really get to them. So he sent Timothy to him, his protege. And he said something about Timothy, which we just read in Philippians chapter 2, 19 to 21. He says, I have no one like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. What am I talking about here? I'm saying that authentic faith is noticeable in the life of an individual. It's noticeable in your life, in my life. And one thing that Paul highlights about this young man is that he has a genuine concern for the welfare of the believers. So authentic faith begins to also express itself in terms of one's genuine concern for your people in church, for your fellow believers. Now, I'm going to say something later about what I'm talking about in terms of it, this isn't something that we manufacture by ourselves. So I don't want us to think, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I'll mention how I believe we can begin that journey. But we see here that authentic faith here, we saw it in the fact that Paul said, look, I long to see you guys. I've missed you so much. I love you guys so much with the love of Christ. We now see he's pointing out this genuine, authentic faith in the life of Timothy, saying that, look, I don't know anyone else who will show you guys or who has such genuine concern for your welfare. So we begin to see that authentic faith has genuine concern. How are we concerned, say, for example, when, let's look at our local assembly here in Bristol. And again, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I'm just saying, let's just, you know, highlight a number of things. Are we really concerned about one another? When one of us is going through hard times, how do you feel about that? Seriously speaking, how do you feel about, how does it bother you? Do you feel like, my goodness, how, I hope this person is all right. How can I help this person? Even if you're not able to. So we begin to see that authentic faith has genuine concern. Genuine, depends on if you're American or British. It's genuine. It has genuine concern for one's brother or one's sister in Christ. So I'm going to move on to the next point, but the point I'm just making here is that authentic faith is genuine. It is noticeable. And I'm sure we all want people to have authentic concern for us. We want people to really care about us. Not only when we're doing good, it might be that we're even in a bad place. Maybe we've even misbehaved. We've done all sorts of things. Irrespective, we still want people to look at us and be concerned about us. To really put aside our bad behavior sometimes and say, okay, look, I'm concerned. I remember, I think it's just like, for example, you have a parent, and you have this, like, you know, 3-year-old, and you've told that 3-year-old, look, that's the chimney over there. When I switch the thing on, that, so that's the radiator over there, don't touch it, it burns. And your 3-year-old, you know, son or daughter, they're like really adventurous, and they're looking at you, they're like, man, I must really touch that radiator. And they look at you, see that you're not looking, and they run and they jump on the radiator, and it hurts them, and they're crying, they're like, oh my goodness, this is really hurting. Now, that parent, well, has genuine concern. What does the parent do? Even though this chap has misbehaved, parent gets him, looks at his hand, and says, you know, ignores all the bad behavior to start with, and looks at this guy's hand or this girl's hand and say, oh, what's this? And they have genuine concern. They want to just stop the pain, then maybe give them a spanking later. That's for another time. But the genuine concern is there. And that is like, first of all, you're not even thinking about what they've done wrong. You're thinking about, wow, how can I help this person to get better? So, sincere faith, genuine, authentic faith is noticeable. Now, 2 more points tonight. We're going to do 3 points tonight. The next point I want to mention is this. Now, it's possible that one listens to all these things that I am saying. And, you know, maybe someone who's listening on the internet, and they're like, wow, I really love this. I want to be genuine in my relationships with others. I want genuine faith. I want to really be like what I'm listening to, what I'm hearing. Well, the first thing I want to mention is that it is not something that we manufacture by ourselves. It's not something that we can fan by ourselves. It's not something, obviously, you know, we need to make a decision to say, okay, this is the direction I want to go in. But really, the interesting thing is that authentic faith is not something that you do in your own power. God has to do a work in your heart. He has to do a work in my heart. Now, the first thing about the work in our heart is when we become born again. If you look at Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And so the second point I want to make here is that God has to do like a heart surgery in the life of an individual before that individual can even begin to go on this journey of authentic faith. I was watching a documentary a few days ago about this boxer from the 1950s, and he was heavyweight champion, and he lost the belt, and he became heavyweight champion again at a very old age from a boxing perspective, at 45 or something, when most boxers retire in their 30s. And the point I'm making here is that something happened to this boxer. He met with Christ. And after he met with Christ, for years and years, he couldn't box again. Now, am I saying boxing is bad? I'm not saying that, you know, boxing is a sport. But his form of boxing was very brutal. This was a guy that when he went into the ring, he didn't view it as a sport to, you know, he viewed it like, look, when I get into that ring, I'm going to take that guy's head off. I'm going to make sure I almost kill him. That was his attitude. And when this guy met Christ, there's something that happened to him. He couldn't even pick up the boxing gloves again. He said he couldn't even hit a punching bag for years and years. He loved people. What happened to that man? Did someone go and sit him down and have a conversation and said, look, these are the things that you need to be doing if you want to experience authentic faith? No. He met with Christ. And when he met with Christ, Ezekiel 36, 26 happened to him. Christ removed the hard heart that he had, and he became born again. And it was like, my goodness, I don't even feel like, you know. So the first point I want to make is the fact that it is our born again experience, our born again heart, that allows us to begin the journey of authentic faith. So it's not something that we muster up from outside. It's something that comes from inside, from the heart that Christ has given us as believers. So I'm highlighting this just to let us know that as a believer or as believers, you have the potential inside of you already. God has changed your heart as a believer. So it's not something you have to do. It's not something you have to go and worry about in terms of how do I do this? No, your heart is changed already. So I guess the question is now like, hang on, Pastor Benson. I can tell you for sure, I don't think I've been living authentically. I don't really care about, you know, people much. Talk less, so, you know, I don't even have time. No problem. But the first thing is we realize that, look, as believers, the potential is there already because our hearts have been changed. Even if we don't notice that, our hearts have been changed. So the last point I want to make tonight is moving towards sincere faith. How do I begin to move towards the point where I am living authentically? How do I get to the point where I have a supernatural kind of love for God's people, for humanity, really? How do I get there? Is there something I need to do? Do I need to do certain? What really do I have to do? I'm going to mention one or two things. And it's not you doing something, so to speak, but you and I having a deeper understanding of God in our lives. So what I'll call a revelation of God. Now, when I say revelation of God, is as we begin to know God more. And when I mean know God more, I'm not talking about knowing God more from knowing, I'm not talking about knowing the Bible more, which we should, but I'm talking about knowing God more. Something begins to happen. So the last point I want to make here is moving towards sincere faith. There are a number of things that I believe will help us to begin to move in a direction where we begin to live faith that is authentic from within. 3 points. The first one is a popular scripture that we might have heard, John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." The first point I want to make is this. Your understanding, my understanding of the fact that God loves us so much that he gave his son for us. Your understanding, my understanding of the depth of the love of God will do something to you and I. I'm not quite sure how to explain this, but let me just give you an example of what happened to me when I became born again. This was, I think, like 1996 or something like that, quite a long time ago. Now, before this time, I was the kind of guy that, look, I didn't want to have anything to do with all this, in quote, Christian stuff. I thought, well, look, it's just not my thing. And that year, 1996, when I met Christ, when I became born again, I understood, at least at that point, the love of God. I was like, my goodness, God, you loved me so much that you gave Jesus Christ for me. Now, because of the love that I began to understand, there were so many things that I didn't want to do. There's so many feelings that I began to develop, so many concerns that I began to have for other people, because I was like, my goodness, God, you love me so much. The least I can do is to love your people. And I was in cloud nine, if I can, I don't know, that's a phrase. So understanding the love that God has for you and I, I'm telling you, will begin to change something in us. That if God could give us such a love that we did not deserve, if God could save us from going to hell, if God could save us from the calamity that's, you know, going to happen when people die and they don't know Christ, not because we're looking for him, but because of his mercy, the understanding of that love will begin to do something in you and I. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 19, Paul prayed a prayer there. He was saying that God should give us the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation so that we may know him better. As we begin to understand the depths of God's love for us, I'm telling you, it will begin to stir up sincere faith, authentic faith in us. And the other thing as well, there's a portion of scripture, and I'm going to end after reading this one, Luke chapter 7, verse 47. Luke chapter 7, verse 47. Jesus was sitting in a house. He had been invited to dinner by some Pharisees, some religious leaders. And this woman came into the house. And in the custom of the Jews then, when someone came into your house as a guest, you would wash their feet. Because I think in those days, you know, walking around that area was quite dusty. So you'd wash their feet, dry their feet with a towel, so on and so forth. So Jesus was sitting now, and this woman came to Jesus and she knelt at his feet and she used her hair to wipe his feet. And her tears, she was so overwhelmed, she was crying, and the drops of tears from her eyes were falling on the feet of Christ, and she was using her hair to wipe the feet of Christ. Someone now asked a question. Luke chapter, well, he now made a statement in Luke chapter 7, verse 47. It says, therefore, I tell you how many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Now, moving towards sincere faith. So what this is telling us is this. The understanding that we have about how great our sins were and Christ still forgave us, right, will do something in our hearts to the point that we will just almost automatically begin to live a very authentic, well, we'll begin to experience and live authentic faith. So realize that the point I've made about moving towards sincere faith, I've not said do this, 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 and that. No. But what I've said here is this, that as we begin to understand the depths of the love of God for us, like this woman, Jesus said that, look, this woman understood the forgiveness of sins that God had done in her life. And it so overwhelmed her that she just used her feet to wipe the feet of her hair to wipe the feet of Christ. So what this is telling us is that our response to the love of Christ, our understanding of what Christ has done by laying down his life for us, the things that he has given us, a deeper understanding of that will cause authentic faith to rise up in us. Love will rise up in us often automatically. When people offend us, it won't really matter because it's like, hang on, yeah, I've done worse. I deserved hell, but Christ saved me. When we see people, we're concerned that, look, this is someone that Christ paid the price for as well. Do you understand what I mean? All right, so I'm going to stop there tonight. And tonight, we've looked at the second part of authentic faith. And I've looked at 3 points tonight. I've said authentic faith is evident. The second point I've made is that starting... that authentic faith starts from the inside out. It's not something that we can generate by ourselves. And the third point I made was that we begin to move into authentic faith, not by what we do per se, but as we begin to understand the depths of the love that God has for us, to the point that he sent Christ to die for our sins. As we understand that, and as the Holy Spirit reveals that to us, then authentic faith will just begin to rise up automatically. Amen. Let me just pray.